for the introduction, and thank you all for coming to the talk. This is joint work with Kalin Atanasov and Sergio Goma at Qualcomm. So I'll be talking about real-time camera calibration for stereo 3D cameras. This could be used for standalone 3D cameras or also 3D cameras on cell phones like the one Andrew showed you. So let me just begin with some background here. So we know that there are some 3D cameras available now and people are using it to capture images and videos. And the logical next step is that they hook it up to the TVs, to the 3D TVs and look at it. And a common complaint has been that it's pretty uncomfortable to watch for whatever reason. Of course, the person who's shooting it may not know what's happening. But the culprit here is that there is a misalignment between the left and the right cameras, which is usually not fixed completely. And this leads to some vertical disparity between the left and right images. And if you keep viewing such images on 3D TVs, you might end up getting a headache or nausea and so on. So there are multiple reasons why this might happen. So the first one could be mechanical placement between the left and right sensors. So there is an attempt to place them as close as possible so that there are no translations in space or there are no rotations between the left and right cameras. But however, that's not really possible. It's not possible to do it perfectly, so there is some rotation or translation left. The second one is the inability to calibrate. So calibration requires resources at the factory. So there might be cases when it might be too expensive to carry out a full calibration or might not be done right. And one of the third reason might be just that the user drops the phone, which is pretty common. And in that case, we've actually seen that the left and right sensors get misaligned. And there are a bunch of other reasons. Heating could be another reason because heating causes the sensors to expand or contract. There could be other reasons like autofocus, where the lens moves back and forth, and there could be misalignment as a result of that. So there are a bunch of reasons, like I mentioned, and what we do, in a nutshell, is we gather some information when the user is actually using the cameras without his knowledge, and then we align the left and right camera images. We gather some statistics, use that to estimate what the misalignment is, and then we can align the two images. And an important requirement here is that we need to be working behind the scene, in the sense that we don't want to interrupt a video being shot to recalibrate. And how this is done is what I'm going to talk about. So it's useful to think of the misalignment in terms of the static component and the dynamic component. So the static component is caused when you mount the left and right sensors on the board. And this could be, you can get rid of this when you do a factory calibration. It's sometimes done, it's sometimes not done, but it could be done. And in the cell phones which have the 3D camera, it's actually being done. Also, once you do that, once you have the sensors, you mount them on the camera itself, and then there could be some misalignment resulting due to that. And that's known as the fixed part of the dynamic component of the misalignment. You could also have the variable parts I spoke about, autofocus, shaking and drop and so on could lead to that. So what are the requirements when we need an algorithm which is going to align the left and right cameras? It needs to be reliable. It has to work off any real 3D scene which the person is capturing. And it has to be pretty fast, or it has to be running in the background if it's not fast enough. And it has to be practical, so the load on the computation has to be somewhat low. So we actually ran some experiments with stereo camera modules, and we saw that once you have the sensors which are mounted, the only reason why there could be misalignment is due to the lens barrel moving either on the left or the right camera. And that can be modeled with three rotations and zoom. So that's basically pitch, yaw, roll. So it's basically three angles of rotation along the X, Y, and Z. Or it could be a scaling factor between the left and right images. So whatever we do has to correct for these four factors. Here's some illustration of what these things actually cause. So if you have a yaw, you see that there is stretching in the horizontal direction. So the disparities appear stretched. And also at the corners, you see that with large yaw angles, you could have vertical disparities between the left and right images. Whereas if you have a roll, it's an XY rotation in space. So that's just like a 2D rotation. When you have a pitch angle between the left and right camera images, there is a large vertical disparity introduced. And also there is some other effects, some other higher order effects as well. And when there's a scale change between the left and right cameras, it's like a zooming effect. So one of the images appears zoomed out and the other one is not zoomed. So we also ran some experimental studies with Chris Tyler and Laura Likova. And they came up, so basically they'll be talking about the study tomorrow in the perceptual session. But here I just want to mention that for a 1080p video, we found out that 10 pixels of vertical disparity is something which is tolerable. Anything beyond that starts to appear as something which is annoying or becomes uncomfortable to the person who's watching it. So this is the disparity budget we have. We are shooting for to limit the vertical disparity to be less than 10 pixels at 1080p. So our algorithm follows the following steps here. So we have the left and right camera images coming in. We detect key points which are corner-like. I'll be talking about this in a second. And then we match the key points between the left and right images. And once we have the match between the left and right image key points, we get a sparse disparity map of sorts. And using the disparity map, we try to... this disparity map basically is not just horizontal, it's horizontal and vertical, so it's like block matching. Using that map, we estimate the three angles of rotation and the scale. We have some other components going in here, which is basically criteria to evaluate how good the key points are and how good the estimated angles are and so on. So I'll be talking about each of these in more detail. So the first step here is key point detection. Most of us know about a regular Harris corner detector, so we took that. We realized that under low contrast conditions, the Harris corner detector doesn't do all that well. So we made a modification here in the sense, in this mathematical term, we increased the support for the Harris corner detector. And to illustrate that, I have some images. I don't know if they show up too well, but this is regular Harris detector on an image which has good contrast. As soon as you reduce the contrast, you see that it doesn't really pick up too many of those corner points. And the modified one works much better at low contrast, as you can see. Okay, so now we have the key points from the left and right camera images. So once you have that, we reduce the number of key points so that you don't have repetition. And then once you do that, you basically select the search range for the yaw, pitch, and roll. And then we basically search between the key points in the left image and the key points in the right image using a regular mean squared error fit. So this is a pair of images. So the left and right images have been overlapped, and these arrows show the disparity vectors which we found. Assuming there's a key point here, you see that there is a disparity vector which maps it to the key point in the right image, from the left to the right. And these are some of the values which we simulated for the pitch, yaw, and roll, and scale. One thing to note is that the vertical disparity here varies across the image because there's a combined effect of all these three angles and the scale. Okay, so now I'll talk a little bit about the actual parameter extraction. As I mentioned before, yaw leads to stretching in the horizontal disparities and some effect on the vertical disparities only at the corner of the images. So it's not that critical that we get it as accurately. However, pitch, roll, and scale, all these three contribute to the vertical disparity. So it's quite important that we estimate these well. Okay, having said that, I'll just move on to the equations here. So this is for estimating the pitch. So here are the standard equations. On this side, we have the image coordinates, px and py. And here we have the xyz coordinates of a point in 3D space. And that's related through, let's say, an angle alpha for the pitch. So now I compare the vertical disparity. So py of alpha is what you see on one camera image for a particular key point. Now we know that we match that key point to another key point on the right image. Now let's say that there's a relative pitch angle of alpha between the left and right images. So this can be modeled through a vertical disparity. And we're using a small angle approximation here, and if you actually go through the math here, this is directly proportional to the pitch. So around the center of the image, the vertical disparities are proportional to the pitch. Okay, now I'm going to talk about how to estimate the scale and the role. So this is the coordinates of the key points on the left image, and this is the coordinates on the right image. We already calculated the delta x and delta y for each key point, which basically gives you the matching between the left and right image key points. So once you have this, you can relate it through the scale, SC, and the angle, roll angle, R. So if I take only the second row here, you can see that the modulus of this can be directly related to the scale, and the argument of the first two entries in that second row can be directly related to the roll. So using this, we can extract the scale and roll. So once we extract the scale, roll, and the pitch, all that's left is the yaw. Like I mentioned before, I told you that the yaw causes vertical disparities around the corners of the image. So if you pick points around the corner, you can relate the left and right image coordinates using the yaw angle y. And if you again pick the vertical disparities there, you get a linear form here. So it's a linear equation here. You can solve for the yaw directly. So now we have all the angles we needed on the scale. So we have a few tests here to go through to see how the extracted parameters are. We need to basically verify that the extracted angles are working well. So once we get the angles, we pass them through the key points again on one of the images. So we forward warp them, and then we see how close they come to the key points on the other image. If the estimation is good, they should come pretty close. So the two key points should line up and there should be no vertical disparities left. I'm sorry? Okay. So we also have a couple of techniques to evaluate the key points here. Because like I told you, for example, to estimate the yaw, you need key points around the corners of the image. And for the pitch, we concentrate around the center of the image. So the first heuristic we use here is we need key points spread across the image. So we select quadrants and we see, we make sure that there are enough key points at all the quadrants. If there are not enough key points here, we just skip and then we wait for the next image to come in from the camera. There is a second evaluation procedure here, which is basically statistical in that we perturb the positions of the key points. And then we see that what is the change in the estimated values for the angles. So if it's a well-behaved system, if you perturb the key point positions by a small amount, the estimated angles and the scale should also be perturbed by a small amount. If that's not the case, then we just flag these values to be invalid, and we move on. This is the algorithm in a nutshell. I don't know if you can read this, but let me just go through this. So the images come in, and then we have a subsampling stage. We do the key point detection and matching. Once we have that, we check if the constellation of key points is good using the different criteria I mentioned. Once we have that, we estimate the roll, pitch, yaw, and scale. And then we basically build the projection matrix, and we forward warp one of the images. And then we check how good the warping is. If we find out that it's not good enough, we just throw away that image, and then we wait for the next image which comes in. And we repeat this procedure until we have convergence. And remember that all this is going on in the background when the person is using the camera and just panning and stuff like that. So this works on any arbitrary 3D scene. So to verify that this works, we basically had two different ways to verify. One was a simulated system. So we took the Sony camera where the left and right cameras are pretty well aligned. And then we simulated the three angles of rotation. And once we had that, we also simulated some hand motion and panning and so on. And now we have the two corrupted images, and we ran it through the algorithm. And this is basically the two images overlapped after they've been corrupted. You can see that there are some big vertical disparities here. And once we ran our algorithm, you see that the images align up pretty well within the disparity budget we have. Let me go back here, some vertical disparity. And we line them up here. We repeated the same with real images. So like I told you before, we have camera sensor modules which are not perfectly aligned. So we ran this real-time calibration on that to see how it works. So as you can see, the input images have some huge vertical disparities. This is our disparity limit based on our study, which turned out to be 10 pixels for 1080p. And then here are the, this is the histogram basically of all the vertical disparities after our correction. So to conclude, we have a real-time calibration procedure which runs in the background. It estimates the three angles of rotation. And it's self-checking in the sense that we have different reliability criteria built in. So it keeps waiting for new frames to come in, and then as soon as it converges, it basically aligns the two images so that there is no vertical disparity left. I just need to mention that we have a demo in the demo session. We have a live demo of this, so if you're interested, you can come by and take a look. So that's it. I can take any questions.
Thank you. We have time for one question. Well, let me take the opportunity to ask one. I noticed that you did not include centering in your possible misalignment. I've found that if you are using zoom lenses, mm-hmm. and they're just like off-the-shelf zoom lenses, there's a lot of issues with centering, matching the two lenses. Why was that not included?
Did you see that on cell phone camera modules or regular?
This is regular cameras.
Okay. Most of the studies we did were on cell phone modules, and we didn't actually see that effect. CMOS sensors.
So if these are built-in cell phone
yes.
lenses into one rigid camera, why would you see some of the other changes?
That's because of, like I mentioned, temperature effects or the phone being dropped or zooming on the sensors and so on. So physical effects on the sensors.
Okay, well, it seems your lenses could get displaced also.
Yeah, so could probably consider that next step.
Let's move right along now to the next speaker. Are you ready? Thank you. Yes, thank you.